This Morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mission fulfilled. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, May 17th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Ukrainian military officials say the combat mission in Mariupol is over, with wounded soldiers being evacuated from a steel factory.
We're getting more details about the alleged gunman who carried out shootings at a Buffalo supermarket and a California church.
Abbott says it's reached an agreement with the FDA on the steps needed to restart production at a Michigan plant that makes baby formula.
And bosses want to know if you're happy.
I did speak with a lot of executives who said they feel that measuring happiness, creating different initiatives that are expressly intended to keep workers happy, that ultimately that contributes to efficiency and productivity.
Emma Goldberg at the New York Times on workers skeptical of companies that advertise themselves as being in the business of keeping workers happy. Still more details are emerging about the suspect in Saturday's mass shooting at a Buffalo supermarket who's accused of killing 10 people and wounding three more. Turns out the suspect scouted out the supermarket in early March and again the day before the shooting. Buffalo Police Commissioner Joseph Grimalia says the suspect had plans to shoot more people at another store or location.
It appeared that his plans were to drive out of here and then continue driving down Jefferson Avenue. Looking to shoot more black people.
18-year-old Peyton Gendron, who's from 200 miles away in Conklin, New York, stands accused of committing a racially motivated attack. The shooter wrote a lengthy online post describing himself as a white supremacist. CBS News says part of the post appears to have been copied from the manifesto of the shooter who attacked two mosques in New Zealand back in 2019. A gunman accused of killing one person and wounding five others inside a Southern California church on Sunday was upset about the state of relations between China and Taiwan. Law enforcement officials now say 68-year-old David Chow of Las Vegas mingled with attendees at a luncheon before carrying out his plot. Orange County Sheriff Don Barnes says the suspect chained shut the doors of the Geneva Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods, put super glue in the keyholes, and hid firebombs inside before shooting.
We located several bags within the facility. They contained magazines with additional ammo, four Molotov cocktail-like incendiary devices that he had placed around the inside of the church.
52-year-old Dr. John Chang, a husband and father to two children, was killed in the shooting. Authorities say he ran at the shooter and threw a chair at him as the suspect began firing. The other parishioners then managed to restrain the suspect with electrical cords. Overseas now, Russia's president is suggesting that the Kremlin will have a muted response to Finland and Sweden seeking NATO membership. In televised remarks, Vladimir Putin said those two nations joining NATO did not represent an imminent danger to Russia. Mikko Hautala is Finland's ambassador to the U.S.
We are spending more than 2%. We have a large army. We have a modern air force, I think one of the best in Europe.
He was on Fox News. Meanwhile, Ukraine's government said its combat mission in Mariupol was over and evacuations of its soldiers had begun from the Azovstal steel factory. That followed an announcement from the Russian government yesterday that it agreed with Ukraine to allow the evacuation of wounded Azovstal fighters. Ukrainian officials said 264 service members are being taken for treatment in Russian-controlled areas. Ukraine's president pleaded for their lives to be spared after they were allowed to leave. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Thanks for joining us. Incumbency certainly comes with advantages, but the political volatility of 2022 poses serious risks for those seeking to keep their perches on Capitol Hill, including some facing primaries today. A look at a couple of the names facing a real battle. Here's Kate Ackley, politics reporter at CQ Roll Call. Kate, set the scene.
One thing that's kind of interesting is all three are vulnerable, but for different reasons. Madison Cawthorn has been sort of plagued by scandals. A lot of it is kind of personal stuff. And there have been some photos that have surfaced of him, in compromising positions and things like that. So it's not like his district is going Democratic or something like that. But he has real credible challengers, more on the personal scandal type stuff. Kurt Schrader is interesting. You know, we're in our first election where new boundaries because of redistricting after the 2020 census have taken effect. And Schrader, you know, he's getting challenged on ideology. His primary opponent is a woman named Jamie McLeod Skinner, and she has kind of the progressive endorsements on her side, like Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts has endorsed his opponent. So he's more of one of those moderate blue dog Democrat types that dwindling in numbers, the blue dogs are. But he's also got a new district. About 50% of the district is new because of redistricting. So he's got to introduce himself to entirely new voters, people who didn't vote for him over his seven terms in office.
Wow.
And then Idaho Republican Mike Simpson, he has a challenger. Again, this is his district is not going to flip to the Democrats in November. So this is basically the election. But he has, he's been in the House. I think he's 10th in seniority among House Republicans. So he's kind of being challenged as, being too Washington and that they need some new blood. He's conservative, of course. But his challenger, has criticized him because Congressman Simpson voted in favor of opening up the commission to look at the January 6th, 2021 riot at the Capitol. So just a lot of different factors happening in these three races that we are watching for Tuesday.
How much of a role, Kate, may an endorsement from former President Trump here play, at least for, say, the Republicans?
You know, that would be a big deal. We've been watching these Trump endorsements, and we're watching them on Tuesday, but not in any of these races. Unless Trump is making an endorsement at the last minute, he has not endorsed in that Idaho 2nd district where the incumbent is Mike Simpson. He has not endorsed the opponent in that race. Madison Cawthorn has a lot of support from Trump. You know, he spoke at the 2020 party convention. We all saw Madison Cawthorn on TV speaking at the convention where, for Trump. But Trump has not endorsed in that race either, although Cawthorn is seen as very, Trump is supportive of him. But that's not a factor in these races as of now. Now, it's possible that there could be a quick change, but that's what we're seeing so far.
We're speaking with Kate Ackley, senior staff reporter at CQ Roll Call, and she's written a piece called These Three House Members' Re-Election Bids Could End on Tuesday, and she took a look at Republican Congressman Madison Cawthorn from North Carolina, Democrat Kurt Schrader from Oregon, and Republican Mike Simpson from Idaho. What might we learn from any particular results here?
Well, one thing in Oregon, this is the 5th district where Kurt Schrader is up for re-election. Republicans are already targeting that district. That's a district that Joe Biden won in 2020 by 9 points. And we're seeing, you know, Republicans feel like they have a pretty good chance of taking back control of the House chamber this year. And this is one of many, many districts across the country that they're targeting. Now, Schrader is obviously vulnerable in Tuesday's primary. If he gets through that, you know, he's in pretty good shape to win re-election. There are two Republicans that are leading to be the, you know, the Republican nominees in that district. Both have been raising good money. So even if he does win, it's still going to be a race that Republicans are targeting.
Thanks, Kate. Kate Ackley, politics reporter at CQ Roll Call. An update, by the way, former President Trump is now doubling down on his support for embattled North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn, although Mr. Trump acknowledged that Mr. Cawthorn has, quote, recently made some foolish mistakes. 19 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The white gunman accused of massacring 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket wrote as far back as November about staging a live-streamed attack and traveled hours from his home in March to scout out the store. According to diary entries, he appears to have posted online. The author of the diary posted hand-drawn maps of the grocery store along with tallies of the number of black people he counted there. Former Buffalo Fire Commissioner Garnell Whitfield lost his mother in the massacre.
We're tired of getting kicked. We're tired of getting hurt. We're tired of losing our loved ones to senseless violence.
The shooter surrendered inside the supermarket.
Number two.
COVID cases continue to rise across the U.S. and are trending at the highest levels since late November. The U.S. is averaging 90,423 cases a day, up 60% from 2 weeks ago. Cases are higher in nearly every state, but the Northeast and Midwest are being hit especially hard. The country is averaging 21,547 hospitalizations a day, up 24% from 2 weeks ago.
Number three.
More than 260 Ukrainian fighters, including some who are badly wounded, were evacuated Monday from a steel plant in Mariupol and taken to areas under Russia's control. Meanwhile, Turkey continues to object to bids from Finland and Sweden to join NATO. Both countries plan to send delegations to Turkey in an effort to convince the country. Any decision on enlargement requires the approval of all current members. Former President Trump faces a test of his ability to shape a new generation of Republicans as GOP primary voters in Pennsylvania and North Carolina decide whether to rally around his handpicked choices for critical U.S. Senate seats. There are also primaries unfolding in Kentucky, Oregon, and Idaho. We are shifting our priorities when it comes to where we want to call home amid sky-high housing prices, and that trend played a role in a southern city dethroning a Rocky Mountain destination as the top spot in the nation to live. U.S. News and World Report names Huntsville, Alabama, as the best place to live, topping Boulder, Colorado. Huntsville's high score for housing affordability, quality of life, and air quality pushed it to the front, despite coming in at the lower end of the field for desirability. Colorado Springs is number two, followed by Green Bay, Wisconsin, and San Jose.
Nice. If you like a little science, too, that's home to like the U.S. Rocket Center or something like that in Huntsville.
There you go.
Noted.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. You may not be able to see cryptocurrency, but you still have to store it somewhere in a wallet that's either cold or hot. Which one is best for holding your Bitcoin and other digital assets depends on your goal. Here's Medora Lee, money and personal finance reporter at USA Today. Medora, what should we know?
So cryptocurrency is really hot. Despite all the volatility we've seen, people are still very interested in it. So I thought it would be a good idea that to let people know that if they're interested in it, we need to handle it securely. So here we are, and we're going to talk about how you have to store your cryptocurrency.
Mm. All right. So, you know, obviously it's digital. It's not just something you stick in your physical wallet and put in your back pocket. It requires a specific type of storage. Explain that.
Exactly. So there are basically two types of wallets that you can have to hold your cryptocurrency. One is a cold one and one is a hot one. So everybody's going to pretty much have to have a hot wallet just to even get their cryptocurrency. So the hot wallet consists of a public key and a private key. The public key is, think of it as like your bank account number. So if you're going to send me money, I'm going to give you my bank account number to make sure that the money gets to me. My private key is like my PIN. So if you're going to have a transaction, you have to put in your PIN number so they can verify who I am, that this is mine, and this is a good transaction. So basically, a hot wallet, if you're going to go and buy some cryptocurrency, someone's got to have your public key so they know where to send it. And then you have your PIN to verify that this is you and you're taking or giving out the money, the cryptocurrency. On the other side, so this is great because you're always connected online. These are quick transactions you can do anywhere on your mobile phone, whatever. So that's great for spending money, spending your cryptocurrency. But then if you think that you may need a little more security, you can use a cold wallet, which is something that you download all your cryptocurrency onto something like a hard drive or a thumb drive that you can detach from your computer so it's not always online. And again, you have your public key and your private key, but you will then basically download your digital currency onto a thumb drive and stick that into your vault. Nobody can hack it because it's not online. That's always the fear with the hot wallet, because it's always online and very easy to use, that hackers will come and try to get your cryptocurrency. But there's always a danger that you might forget your key. And if you do that, you might be out of luck. There's no one to call.
Right. We're speaking with Medora Lee, money and personal finance reporter at USA Today. Her story is called Crypto Storage, Cold, Hot, or Maybe a Little of Both. So it's always fascinating that there's no one to call. Right. This is not some government regulated entity, cryptocurrency. So then what? You're out of luck?
You are. There's actually that very famous, there are lots of famous stories about people who can't remember their key and they've lost their money forever. The most famous and most recent one, I think, is a guy named Stephen Thomas who got some Bitcoin and he couldn't remember his key. And he laid in bed at night wondering, because you only have so many chances before they freeze you out. And he only had two more chances. And he said he would just lie in bed at night trying to think of his key.
Awful, right? Medora Lee, money and personal finance reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Edgy, smart, bringing you what you need to know. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, May 17. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Under an agreement with the FDA, Abbott says it could reopen a plant that makes baby formula within 2 weeks. Buffalo police say an accused gunman had plans to shoot up multiple locations. Ukraine's president says wounded soldiers are being allowed to evacuate a steel plant. Elon Musk wants Twitter to identify how many fake accounts there are before he buys the company. Golf legend Jack Nicklaus says a tour in Saudi Arabia offered him $100 million to be the face of it. And the Virginia father and daughter who got college degrees at the same time. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Small Business Month is here, and Dell Technologies can help you upgrade with PCs starting at $499. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Dell and Windows 11 Pro, secure from the start. To some people, the pursuit of workplace happiness can seem like a corporate approach that tries to turn feelings into productivity. Those critiques have taken on new urgency as workers and employers clash over return-to-office plans. Some workers say they prefer flexibility or raises adjusted to inflation. To corporate carrots like a Lizzo concert for Google employees and beer tastings at Microsoft. It's a story by Emma Goldberg, business reporter at the New York Times. Emma, what have you found?
Yeah, so it's an interesting moment in the return to office debate because, you know, a lot of companies were intending to bring their workers back right around now. COVID cases are ticking up, but they're pretty intent on forging ahead. And one of the things we've seen play out around that is that they're really intent on trying to earn the commute. So make the office a happy place. And in some cases, what that means is that they're starting initiatives that are really around the express goal of keeping their workers as happy as possible.
You know what struck me too? I guess I had not considered. Somebody in your story said, yes, they're trying to get us back to normal, but normal was terrible.
Exactly. You know, that's something that you're hearing from a lot of employees is our bosses want to go back to this kind of pre-pandemic status quo, but that wasn't working that well for a lot of people.
So explain something you touched on in the story that is called the $18,000 MBA or the Happiness MBA.
So there's a lot of consultants and institutes and other organizations that are tapping into this desire to keep workers happy by offering programs that actually teach managers how to lead happy teams.
Has that worked out, I guess? Is there evidence that such a thing is beneficial?
Some organizations do say they do that. And that it, you know, it ensures that there's just a better chemistry between employees and their supervisors. You know, I think some might feel that it's almost like that, like capture the flag, you know, team draft in gym class where you don't want to be the person who gets picked last.
Right. There was a consultant too in your story who said something along the lines of, you know what, your boss is not there to provide you with happiness.
Yeah, that was, you know, author Sarah Jaffe, who wrote Work Won't Love You Back. And what she was saying is, you know, if you think they're focusing on happiness, really, probably they're focusing on the bottom line.
How about the approach? I think it was an executive with WD-40 who you quoted, who said something along the lines of, you have to remind your employees about the usefulness of their work.
Yeah, you know, I did speak with a lot of executives who said they feel that measuring happiness, creating different initiatives that are expressly intended to keep workers happy, that ultimately that contributes to efficiency and productivity. WD-40 is a big example because, you know, they have all sorts of things like they invite colleagues to remind each other to create positive, lasting memories together. They don't call their managers. They call them coaches. So there's a lot of language that's kind of focused on trying to make sure people are happy at work.
There's sort of the tail end of your story, too. You quoted a woman, and this may reflect a generational approach. This Anna King, right, 60 years old, works at this energy utilities company in Portland. And she said, having cereal in the break room does not make up for not being able to pick up your kids.
So that's what some of the workers who I interviewed were saying, that especially once they started working from home, they realized that what they valued even more than like a fun office is time to spend with their families.
Summarize, if you would, the findings from that company in Denmark called Woohoo, right? They survey businesses.
Right. So what they do is they actually create staff surveys that they give to founders and to executives that are supposed to measure the happiness levels within a company. And those assessments are geared around understanding people's emotional responses to their work.
And so does this work?
Well, what's interesting is that economists and psychologists have actually really found that when workers are happier, they're also more productive. So there's a really interesting study in the Journal of Labor Economics that found that people who are made happier for example, by being given chocolates or shown comedy movies, are 12% more productive than a group that is left alone. And another study in the Journal of Financial Economics showed that companies that appear in the list of 100 best workplaces, so they have pretty happy employees, they also have higher shareholder returns. So it's an interesting indication that when people are happier, the companies also do better.
Thanks, Emma. Emma Goldberg, business reporter at the New York Times. Coming up next, how Phoenix Suns fans are coping with their team's epic collapse.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's nearly 36 hours later, but a lot of Phoenix Suns fans are still in belief after their dream season came to an abrupt end, being blown out by 40 points by the Dallas Mavericks at home in Game 7 on Sunday. The Suns had the best record in the NBA during the regular season and were expected to make a much longer playoff run. The loss was so demoralizing that Suns fans had to find a way to cope, even if it meant beating up the electronic version of the Mavs instead. One user on TikTok posted a clip from his game of NBA 2K in which the Suns were the ones who prevailed by a score of 328-31. Now, to make that happen, you'd think that a gamer would have to lower the difficulty a lot, making it much easier to score at will over Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. But unfortunately, that's not something the real-life Suns have the ability to do. Some Twitter users joke that if the game had gone a few quarters longer, 300 points for the Mavericks wouldn't have been out of the question.
Yeah. And Luka Doncic probably would have had 100 of them.
Yeah. I'd say so. Jeez. I don't know if you watched the video, but this guy's kind of got some heavy breathing going on in the background while he's doing this. You know, clearly upset, clearly working out his frustrations for sure.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like, this is a game seven. Like, you expect these to go down to the wire, right? Yeah. And the Mavericks have never even made it this far.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even close. Not even by halftime, it wasn't even close, right?
Destroyed on your home court? Oh, my goodness. Your coach was coach of the year, right? I hate the Suns. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a long, long summer in Phoenix.
Disaster.
And we know that many parents will do just about anything to be able to one day have grandchildren running around the house, but rarely, if ever, do they get the legal system involved. That's how bad things got for one couple in India who are suing their son and daughter-in-law, demanding they produce a grandchild within a year or pay them the equivalent of $675,000. The couple says their son was married 6 years ago and they can't wait anymore. They say that after paying for their son's education, he owes them a grandchild, and they consider it selfish that he's not being more considerate of their needs, saying that they aren't getting the love and affection that they want.
Jeez.
The court accepted their petition, and a hearing was scheduled for this week.
Wow, so the court's actually going to hear this.
Yeah.
Ay, that's unbelievable.
Seems a tad frivolous, but, you know, I guess they feel that they've had some serious mental anguish here over this, waiting for six long years to have grandchildren.
And, you know, this could get, like, a little dicey in court, too, right? Is the judge going to ask questions of the young couple? Like, well, how often are you intimate, right? Are you trying?
Yeah. Are you putting forth a real effort
here?
Yeah.
Holy cow. That's,
or get ready to pay up.
That's unbelievable. Imagine getting pestered about that, though.
Oh.
Like, it's one thing, like, young adults say, are you getting married? Are you going to marry this girl? Are you going to marry this boy? And now it's, when are the kids coming?
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, we're trying to get our careers established. Yeah. And
I mean, it happens all the time, but it usually, again, it's not. It doesn't usually involve $600,000 in payment.
That's incredible. Thank you, Mike. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. The question of whether it's cheaper to fly or drive is an old travel conundrum, but the many factors affecting travel in 2022 make it a challenging one to answer simply. NerdWallet says three things stand out. One, airfare should be less affected by high fuel prices than gas-powered road trips. Number two, driving could still be best over short distances or with a large group. And three, keep the high cost of renting a car in mind after your flight lands. Here are some comparisons. The distance from Los Angeles to San Francisco is 382 miles. To drive it solo will cost you $101. To fly, it's $137. So generally speaking here, it's cheaper to drive. The distance from LA to New York is 2,800 miles. The cost to drive solo would be $738. The cost to fly is $303, so cheaper to fly in this case. Another factor, the cost, of course, of renting a car. In March of 2022, it was 62% higher than 2 years ago. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden is set to visit Buffalo today to meet and grieve with family members of the 10 victims killed Saturday during a mass shooting at a supermarket that police say was racially motivated. Victims, who ranged in age from 32 to 86, included a civil rights advocate, a deacon, and a heroic security guard. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown on ABC.
I'm going to appeal to the president to push harder on gun control. I'm going to talk to the president about hate speech on the internet.
Biden and First Lady Jill will meet with families, first responders, and law enforcement officials at a community center.
Number two.
Authorities say a Las Vegas man suspected in Sunday's shooting that left one person dead and five others injured at a meeting of Asian churchgoers in Southern California was motivated by political tensions between China and Taiwan. Orange County Sheriff Don Barnes.
We know that the subject involved is a U.S. citizen who immigrated from China. He is believed to have lived in the United States for many years, including other states, including Texas.
Barnes called the shooting a politically motivated hate incident.
Number three.
Abbott Nutrition says it has reached a deal with the FDA to reopen an infant formula plant in Michigan that has been shut down amid the nation's ongoing shortage. The plant was shut down in February after the FDA started investigating four bacterial infections among infants who consume formula made at the facility. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf.
If contamination is identified in the future, the company must notify the FDA, identify the source of the problem, and conduct a root cause investigation before resuming production.
Abbott could restart production at the facility within 2 weeks. Well, that long-lost dress worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz may not go up for auction after all, since its ownership is now tangled up in a court battle. A federal judge has ordered a hearing on the dispute, which pits a Wisconsin woman who claims the dress is the legal property of the estate of her late uncle, and Catholic University in Washington, D.C., which says it's the rightful owner. Bonham says the dress could sell for anywhere between $800,000 and $1.2
million. Oh, that's weird. It belongs to my uncle's estate, and Catholic University says, no, it's ours.
Money is involved.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Jen. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Thanks for being with us. A father and daughter from Portsmouth, Virginia, now bonded by their college graduations from the same school and on the same day. Marvin Fletcher, a retired Marine and Army veteran, graduated with 17-year-old Sinea Hill from Tidewater Community College. Fox News says Sinea completed her studies certificate in emergency medical service as a dual enrollment student before even finishing her junior year at Deep Creek High School. Mr. Fletcher earned his associate's degree in applied science and management after serving for 4 years in the Marine Corps and 8 years in the Army. Due to their different programs, dad and daughter hadn't bumped into each other on campus because their classes were at different spots. Mr. Fletcher plans to use his management degree to operate a government group home for veterans with PTSD. Saneya still has another year of high school, then plans to attend a four-year school to further her education in emergency medical services. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.